It's time to talk about cannabis once again, but not the kind that can get you high. Pot without the THC is industrial hemp, which provides fiber and CBD and seeds and more. But the federal government did not see the distinction, in some cases still doesn't, and kept hemp under tight controls, along with the cannabis that is high in THC. While the intoxicant is still officially under tight control, hemp is getting some wiggle room from the feds, along with the states. Our first guests are in the hemp business, ramping up operations in the Rogue Valley. Bruce Perlewan is the CEO of Hemp Inc., which is stationed elsewhere but has offices in a number of states. And his local partner is Nicolas Vanderway, who is with JNV Farms LLC and the local farmer. So, Bruce, welcome to you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And Nicolas, good to see you. Yep.
Thanks for having us.
So, Bruce, tell us about Hemp Inc. and how long it's existed, what it's all about.
Well, Hemp Inc. has existed about 8 or 9 years. We built the largest hemp processing facility in the Western Hemisphere in North Carolina, just east of Raleigh. And that's been up and running for about a little over a year now. So that's all put to bed. And so now we're out here to do local processing centers because we're expanding our footprint for Hemp Inc. We are a publicly traded company. And we're the penny stock, so it's real low, like 3 cents or something. And Oregon, you come to Oregon, you look up and you say, you got great plants. You go to even places like North Carolina, famous for tobacco growing. You look down and you say, you got great plants. You guys grow stuff 3 times taller than anywhere else in the country.
So were you sure, or at least sure in your bones or gut or wherever you have these feelings, that hemp was going to make a go of it again? Because it's been under such tight controls for so long. But you made this gamble 10 years ago, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, 10 years ago, I started the first publicly traded company in the pot stocks, Medical Marijuana Inc. About 7 years ago, I sold that. And that's when I started Hemp Inc. I saw the transition coming. My thought back then was there's more money in hemp plastics, just one division of hemp, than all of medical and recreational marijuana put together. So I wanted to be ahead of the curve. And I moved over to hemp.
And what did you do what for money before hemp, before medical marijuana too?
Before medical marijuana, yeah. We were a public company selling debit cards. Mm-hmm. And there's no sizzle and there's no action in the debit card, right? It's not an exciting product. It's a back-end payment solution for network marketing companies, for big companies. I was on the CNBC documentary Marijuana Inc. Inside America's Pot Industry. They had a 10-minute segment on me. When that aired, it was the number one watched documentary in CNBC history, and everyone started calling us. So we decided, let's change our name from Club VivaNet with a debit card to Medical Marijuana Inc. So before Medical Marijuana Inc., it was Club VivaNet selling debit cards. We changed the name, moved from Florida to California, and got into the medical marijuana industry. We didn't touch the plant, but we did payment solutions, inventory control tracking systems. We didn't want to actually touch the plant because it was still too iffy if that was against the law or not.
So what's it been like to watch this transition over the last 10 years as we moved from first medical marijuana legal in so many places and then to recreational use and then, of course, hemp getting loosened up along the way as well?
It's been absolutely fascinating. There's a video of me on Bloomberg saying that explain the difference between marijuana and hemp, and me saying you can't get high on hemp, and if you're stupid enough to smoke it, you can smoke it the joint the size of a telephone pole, you're not gonna get high. Boy, was I wrong. A year ago, it hit like crazy. Everybody is smoking hemp. We came out with pre-rolls.
What's that? You're holding up a cigarette box here.
This is a cigarette box, but they're actually called pre-rolls. They're hemp cigarettes, basically, or hemp joint inside of these. And it has hit the industry by storm. 1 year ago, it started in Italy. They opened up a CBD-only store, and 1,000 people an hour came to that store. They had to shut down their website because every 15 seconds there was a buy. So this is only a year old, this phenomenon of people smoking hemp, because it gets into your bloodstream quicker, the CBD, which cures, I'm not going to say cures, I'm not allowed to say make medical claims, but it's an amazing product, an amazing cannabinoid.
So you get the benefits of the CBD. You don't get high, though, from smoking the hemp joints.
You absolutely do not get high, but it goes right from your lugs to your bloodstream. So it's instant. As an example, I take CBD oil every day. I don't feel anything, and I have degenerative disc disease, so my neck hurts and my lower back hurts. I smoked some pure crystal CBD isolate one time. It took the pain away in 2 seconds because it happened so quick. It was amazing.
Or a believer in CBD, so as a business thing, Nicolas Vanderway, your family over 8 generations has been involved in farming of many different varieties. What appealed about hemp?
Hemp was a variety that we wanted to get into. Being in the dairy farming and farming 1,000 acres of alfalfa, wheat, and barley, once that kind of went away, we found other things to do. And now we've seen hemp was an opportunity, so we came back to Oregon and decided to get into hemp because hemp, there's pretty good money that can be made doing hemp. And hemp is a weed. It's not that difficult to grow. But you have to have an end game in sight, because if you don't have an end game in sight, then you get caught with growing the hemp and nowhere to go with it. And that's where LPC came in, our local processing center. So, you know, it was a win-win for both of us to do this together. I got to do what I love, and that's farming. And farming that can finally make some money for the farmers.
You said you came back to Oregon. From where?
I went to Florida. I was in the recycling for a little bit, recycling business, because you couldn't make money in farming. And no one could make money in farming. You just live month to month, hoping to survive every month. And you had to go somewhere else to make money. Now we have our opportunity for everybody to make money in the hemp industry for now.
What looks so appealing about hemp? It's got a lot of uses, but I mean, as you look at the landscape for where people will buy it and what they'll use it for, and you're banking on this making some money,
right?
Why?
It's because, you know, hemp and first marijuana obviously was the first thing that they let loose on, but I think hemp is a better product for the consumer that he doesn't get high, but he could feel healthy. And we see that taking off like crazy. I know some people that had a speech in the UN about 3 weeks ago, and it was a hedge fund. And he said they didn't want to talk about Somalia. They didn't want to talk about anything but CBD. So, you know, the whole world is going CBD crazy. So I thought, wow, we just got in at the right time. Hopefully it's a 3 to 5 year roll, which we think it will be, and we can finally make some money as farmers.
Nicolas Vanderway is an 8th generation farmer. He and his brother own JNV Farms LLC in partnership with Bruce Perlewin at Hemp Inc. You can join the conversation on the exchange as we talk about the hemp business and where it's likely to go from here. 800-838-3760. If you'd like to join the conversation by phone, by email, it's jx@jeffnet.org. You were saying, Nico, that hemp is a weed. It's pretty easy to grow. Does it take much cultivation? Does it take a lot of work?
It takes just as much work as planting alfalfa, wheat, or barley. Obviously, we're going organic. We did organic farming, and all my neighbors have done organic farming, which we think it's better. So we make sure to use the right products. We use seaweed. We use kelp. We use a stuff called grow, which is food waste that's liquefied and certified organic, and that's what we feed. It costs a lot more to feed them, but, of course, the return on the other end is great.
I have watched, there are some places that are growing hemp along the Bear Creek Greenway, so anybody with a bicycle or just on foot can see these things, with the big signs, I should add, that say, yep, no THC. But it seems like those things went from under the plastic to 3 feet tall in about 3 weeks. Does it grow that fast?
Yeah, it does. It's about a 110-day plant from 2 inches to up to 9 feet tall. So they get that tall. You know, we try to get about a pound a plant. We grow about 1,500 plants per acre. So, you know, our goal is to get 1,500 dry pounds of CBD per acre.
And so how did you guys end up connecting?
Well, I was looking at a 15,000-pound biomass load to buy for our pre-rolls, mm-hmm, you know, to put them in our cigarettes.
For the hemp cigarettes, okay. Mm-hmm.
Correct. And just purely synchronicity and purely by accident, Nico was there to look at buying some fertilizer. And we were starting to talk, and the guy said, there's 6 to 7 inches of shake at the bottom of these totes. And
Nico, you have to explain these things as you go along. Shake at totes.
Okay, shake is the just the fine powdery. It's not a bud. It's mm-hmm. The bud broken up. Okay, so it's just the leaf matter. Mm-hmm. And he said because of the compression. And Nico says, you know, I owned 11 semis before in my last business, and if you take those in a semis and a tote, by the way, is Nico how many?
One cubic yard to 2 cubic yards in a tote.
Okay, so he says, if you drive that down to Pahrump, Nevada, which is north of Las Vegas, you're going to have half of it is going to be shake because it's going to be bouncing in back of a semi, and we want to sell the buds. All right, what we have left over, the A buds you sell, you want them intact, you don't want them breaking apart. So we realized, or I realized very quickly, that you have to have a local processing center. And I just jumped for joy at that concept because a local processing center helps the small family farm. And I'm committed to that. More so than making money, I'm committed to the small family farm and seeing that reemerge in the American landscape. And without a local processing, with a local processing center, it makes it way easier for you to process your hemp now. So we built this thing with Nico, and all the local farmers are using us, and we're saving a lot of their crops because they didn't realize how much you have to. Go ahead, Nico.
Right.
Explain
and,
that.
And yeah, it saves a lot. But you know, it also what people don't understand is the jobs we create. I mean, for JMV Farms and LPC, we have 75 full-time people working for us now that didn't have jobs before, and that's just one farm. And there's five farms on the same road. So when the season's here, now we keep going because we have the local processing center. But when the farm's just on our street alone, there's over 250 people employed for 2 months straight working to take the crop off.
So is the processing center specific to hemp? I mean, these are machines that are built just to handle hemp?
Right. They can't. I mean, we could handle marijuana, but we can't because we're ODA, so we're Oregon Department of Ag. Mm-hmm. So we're staying, of course, in the hemp business, and that's what we're doing. Our whole processing center is to dry it, to take it. After it's dry, we cure it, and after it's cured, we can go ahead and buck it and then trim it and then have it ready for the market. We can package it. So anybody else out there that's a farmer, and let's say they do have drying space, but they can't do anything after it's dry, they can come to us and we can go ahead and bucket and trim it and package it for them.
Now, is this just Bruce Perlewin for the pre-rolls, this the hemp cigarettes, or is it for other uses? Are you going to be making rope or anything else or what?
No, this is just the main uses. We're selling it to our company, Hemp Inc., which is great because now we have Nico. Part of our joint venture is that we pay him by the pound. And it's a good price. You know, it's more than actually marijuana selling for right now. And it is for the buds. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to me who grew up in the 60s, it's like I'm starting all over again. I used to sell nickel bags, dime bags, and lids, you know, in high school. And it looks the same. But there's no THC and you can't get high. So, and it helps the small farmer. It puts jobs in the area. It's a win-win. It's like a win double, you know, win-win-win.
Agriculture and economics in the hemp business, our discussion topic here on the Jefferson Exchange. You're welcome to join as we talk to Bruce Perlewin, who is the CEO of Hemp Inc., and Nicolas Vanderway is a farmer with JNV Farms LLC. He and his brother, Johannes and Nicolas Vanderway, is at the JNV. You can join us on the exchange, 800-838-3760 by phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So you got into talking about selling nickel and dime bags. You haven't always done this plant legally.
Oh, I'm going back to high school. I'm 57 years old. No, I'm 67 years old. So I've been fighting this war illegally or legally for 54 years.
But so you're really banking heavily on CBD here. So CBD is in a magic moment right now, isn't it?
Yes and no. When you enter an industry is critical. If you enter too early, no one knows about it. Right now, it's the rage. All right, it's growing. It's the fastest growing industry on earth. And when I built eco villages for veterans and different causes, right, different segments of society, I call it a veteran village kins community, and each little kin's domain to an half-acre parcel grows 1 acre of hemp. So CBDs is a rage now. When these eco-villages get done, you end up with 160 2.5-acre eco-villages growing 1 acre of hemp. So what about CBNs? That's the best natural sleep aid, no demand, that's not addictive. What about CBGs? There's 113 cannabinoids that we had to research. You got 160 growers growing and establishing new strains, new terpene profiles. Even Monsanto's can't beat that model of that many growers in all these eco-villages. Where are we going to put our local processing centers all over the country with Nico and his team? Because it was an amazing team. He did this in 90 days. I've never seen anything go up so fast in my life.
How did you make that turn so fast, Nico?
I guess being a farmer, you know, we just go at it and we just go 12, 14 hours a day. And we built 8 greenhouses and another building that's 50 by 200 by 24 square foot building, concrete and all.
Now, you mentioned being sanctioned by the Oregon Department of Agriculture. You have the certificates and all that stuff. I mean, how many are you aware of how many people are out there now growing hemp?
Yeah, there's quite a bit. You know, I would say, if I'm right, that we have our growers, we have our handlers permit, and then our seed permit. So we have them all three. And for growers, I want to say there's 1,100 growers in Oregon, the last I checked, and there's 267 handlers.
Does this kind of blow your mind? I mean, I remember having a discussion, it seems like within the last 5 years, about the fact that you couldn't even sell hemp seeds in the United States under federal law because they had to be sterilized so they wouldn't grow new hemp plants. And now we're talking about this hemp explosion here.
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, you know, next year it's going to be incredible. I mean, if I grew, because everybody calls hemp ink when they want to do something with hemp all over the world actually now. If I grew every acre that people called in want to do joint venture, I'd be growing on literally about 20 million acres. I mean, Canada, Australia, you know. But I don't want to go to foreign countries right now. I want to focus on America. And it does blow my mind that the speed of this, because it's clean cut. You know, I mean, our processing center in North Carolina has the capability of making other things like hempcrete. We make a lost circulation material. We grind the whole plant up to a powder and sell it to the oil companies. But now we're just starting to get, our company, just starting to get into the hemp plant, into the hemp farming. You know, we took care of Division I industrial hemp uses with the plant in North Carolina. That was $20 million in 4 years to build that plant, or 3.5 years. And now we're doing the farming with Nico. On a 1 to 100 scale, him and his team are 100.
So do I understand that in North Carolina, that's focusing on the non-CBD uses for hemp, and the stuff here in the Rogue Valley is for the CBD uses of it?
Yes and no. We have a drying center and a local processing center in North Carolina now for hemp, because, you know, when you look at growing it for fiber, you're talking or seed, let's say, or the grain, it's $1,000 an acre. You look at it for CBDs, it's somewhere between $30,000 and $300,000 an acre. So there's no comparison for the farmer.
Right. So yeah, rather than making, you know, stuff for drills and for fracking and saying, you'd rather be making the CBD.
Yeah, because it's healing, and that's the hot thing right now.
Now, what kinds of regulations? You talk about the pre-rolls, the hemp cigarettes here. So anything that comes in a box that looks like a cigarette is probably going to end up incurring some regulation too. So, I mean, how does that land upon you?
It's so funny. You know, in Oregon, the federal law says you cannot have more than 0.3% THC. It says nothing about THCA. All right. So some states add the THCA and the THC together to get that 0.3%. Some states say, no, the federal guidelines say just THC. Here in Oregon, it's just the THC. In North Carolina, they add the THC and the THCA together. So it makes it really hard to get a strain with that low of just THC. But Nico, you know, he's an incredible farmer, and he grows those strains that have zero THC, right?
Right, Delta 9, because that's what we grow is 0.0 Delta 9 THC, and then the CBD. Our CBD strains go anywhere from 15.5 to 21% CBD. So it's pretty good.
You guys are convinced this is going to make money years down the road. I mean, we're not going to see a bubble burst, and then you'll be going, oh boy, well, I wish we'd done something different.
I would say 3 to 5 years for sure, and then it's going to be a high crop. It's going to be like grown strawberries in Florida. You know, it'll be as good as grown strawberries in Florida 5 years from now, where they're making $10,000 an acre.
All right. Well, these guys see a future in growing hemp for CBD and for a lot of other uses as well. Bruce Perlewin is the CEO of Hemp Inc. Thank you for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Oh, you're welcome. It's a pleasure to be here.
Nicolas Vanderway is a farmer. He and his brother own JNV Farms, LLC, doing the processing plant in the Rogue Valley. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Best of luck in the future endeavors.